You're listening to CFUR 88.7 FM in Prince George. Hello and welcome to episode one of Research the North, the UNBC Research Ambassador podcast. My name is Patrick Smith and I'll be the host of this episode. And, well, what we do, we provide students with information on research opportunities at UNBC and across the North. We also help them learn more about the resources available to help them pursue this research. And today we're going to be introducing you to the rest of the research ambassadors. First up, we have Brendan Carswell. So, Brendan, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, Patrick. So my name is Brendan, as Patrick said, and I am a fifth-year student in natural resources management here at UMBC, and I'm majoring in wildlife and fisheries management and doing a minor in general biology.
Right on.
Yeah, so I am currently living in Prince George. I've lived here for about 15 years now, and I came from northern Vancouver Island, so Canberra River, Port Hardy, for those who know where that is.
Okay. So what brought you to UMBC?
Yeah, for sure. So I went to high school here, so I was a local high school student, and I came to UMBC because it was easy, convenient, and stuff like that. But I also really actually liked some of the work that was done here. So one of my defining moments when deciding to go to university was when I watched a presentation by a former geography professor talking about his work on Antarctic glaciers. So that was kind of a really big motivator for me as well.
All right. So that was kind of what connected you to wanting to do research then, right?
I'm not sure. You know, I don't think at that time I knew what research was, like many people. I mean, it's something that is very specific to university, and I think even more specifically higher up. So yeah, maybe not quite at that point, but definitely piqued my interest, I think.
All right. So at what point, once you realized this was something you want to do, when did you start actively looking to find opportunities for research?
Yeah, so for me, I was actually pretty lucky. I kind of fell right into it. I used to work in a bakery at a grocery store. And after my first year of university, I had done quite well. And one of my former professors, she would shop at that store all the time. And she came in one night and she offered me a job. And it was a job to help her with dendrochronology research.
Oh, so nice.
Researching wood properties. So that was how I got into it, which is a little bit unusual. But yeah, that's my story.
Right on. So, Brendan, tell us a little bit about your research.
Yeah, so I spent most of my time in my undergraduate, 2.5 years actually, working on one project. And we were looking at how mule deer, so a common deer species up here in the north, use very particular habitat types seasonally. And the habitats we were looking at were, they're called disease centers. So there are these habitats that are altered by fungal forest pathogens. We're looking at two forest pathogens in particular. And these fungal pathogens alter core components of the landscape that mule deer really, try to look for, and especially in winter. So, yeah, so I'll unpack that a little bit. So up here in northern British Columbia, snow and winter, I should say, really control a lot of, what an animal can do, and it really limits it. So for deer, if we just think about their anatomy a little bit, they have these really long, slender legs, and they break through the snow really easily. So if you have really deep snow, this can be things that skyrocket a deer or a moose or any ungulate's energy expenditures. So in the winter, these animals really try to look for habitats that have the least snow accumulation as possible. And in northern regions, there's really specific forest types that provide that. So they really try to go for areas that have lots of large Douglas fir, if anyone knows what that tree is. And these large Douglas fir intercept a lot of the falling snow. So the snowpack is usually quite significantly less under them. And as well, there's some, you know, food sources in these types of forests as well.
Sounds pretty interesting. So it's a lot to process, man.
Yeah.
I wager from, you know, all this research you're doing in the outdoors, you must enjoy being outside at the very least.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, growing up here in Prince George and then previous on northern Vancouver Island, there's a lot of wilderness, so I definitely enjoy getting out, hiking as much as I can, and you know, the consumptive activities too. So hunting and fishing, I'm a big fan, and I think those passions are really what drove me to go into wildlife and fisheries, for sure. Yeah.
So anybody that was looking to get into research in wildlife and fisheries, they'd probably need to
you know, enjoy being outdoors as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. You spend a lot of time outdoors, especially when conducting research. You know, when you're collecting data, you can be out for weeks or even a month at a time. So you have to be comfortable with the outdoors, that's for sure.
Sounds about right. Well, thank you for coming in today, Brendan. It was a real treat talking to you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll catch you later. Coming up next, we have Rachel Van Leeuwen. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Okay, so my name is Rachel Van Leeuwen. I am a fourth-year student here at UNBC. I am joint majoring in history and English, and I have a minor in political science.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually just got married this summer, so that's pretty exciting. I'm still getting used to having a different last name, which is kind of weird. It's a little bit of an adjustment, but yeah, it's been interesting.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So where are you from originally?
I was born in BC, but I live most of my life in Smithers, just 4 hours away from here.
Oh, I'm very familiar with
Smithers. Yeah, it's a beautiful little town there with really cute community and a really tight-knit group of people there. And I went to a private school there, and I grew up really loving school and enjoying every minute of it. So I knew I was going to post-secondary school as soon as I hit high school, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. So when I was looking for different options, UNBC was a nice university that was close to home. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too overwhelming when I was looking at it because it was just had a small student base, and it was really attractive to see that there are so many small classes that I'm kind of nervous in really big groups. So
yeah, I'm
to
right
have
there
this,
with you.
Yeah, so to have the small class sizes was something that was really encouraging.
Right on. So how did you connect with your research that you're currently involved with?
Okay, so when I applied to university, I actually was planning on becoming a high school teacher. So I immediately went into history and English, but once I took my first history class, History 190 and History 191, I really began to see what research could do and where it could take me. So I took a class on pre-Confederation Canada, and I looked at the word assimilation in Lord Durham's report in 1839 about the relationships between Upper and Lower Canada. And I presented it to my professor in office hours, and he questioned me. He said, "You didn't find this word in the document." And to put it into your paper is something that's not okay. And I was confused because I was looking at the document and it was right here in front of me. So I had found a word in the document that had previously been only associated with a scientific definition. And here it was meaning something different where they were. Yeah, he was recommending that the French people were assimilated into the British society in Lower Canada, which is now Ontario.
Hmm.
So that really got me really interested in what research could do, because all of a sudden here I am with my professor and we're like poring over these documents in my second year.
Oh, nice.
And we're like, what is going on with this word? What does it actually mean? So I wrote a final paper for this class that was way over the word limit and way over the page limit. But it was really interesting and really exciting for me. And then in my third year, I took a seminar class, and we looked specifically at the post or the trading posts in Fort George, and I looked at the Hudson's Bay Company post journals and was looking at the relationship between the missionaries and the indigenous people and the traders here in Fort George. And it was really interesting to see how that relationship changed from 1880s to 1910s.
And this is what you did for your undergraduate research project, right?
Yeah, that's what I looked at for my undergraduate research report, too. So the professor who taught that class was my supervisor the following semester in that undergraduate research experience award. And I'm just falling in love with research more and more. So I've become a research ambassador in my last year, and I'm super excited to continue doing that after I graduate.
Nice. You and me both. So your undergraduate research experience, is this kind of like the beginning of your like proper research experience getting into this now, like expanding into later years?
I would say it was the beginning of my official research. The seminar class was a group of only five students, and the whole class was built around the goal of producing a large report at the end or a large paper at the end of the class that was based on the research that we did throughout the whole class. So each class, we didn't have a lecture. We just presented the research that we had done that week to each other. So we learned a lot, and I really wanted to keep on doing that, which is why I applied for the Research Experience Award.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. And where it takes me when I'm done, when I've graduated, I don't know, but I hope that I'll be able to get a good job as a research assistant and then maybe get my master's and PhD and see where I end up. Maybe it'll be at a university teaching somewhere. We'll see.
Got to shoot for the moon, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming in today, Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we have Hoi Sien Lee. How are we doing today, Hoi?
Oh, yeah. I'm good today.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm currently a third-year PhD student in UMBC, and I came from Malaysia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it has been my second year here in Prince George.
How are you finding it so far?
Everything's good. And I find it's very interesting to study in Canada, and this is my first time to study abroad.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So what brought you to UMBC in particular?
Oh, yeah. I completed all my study from kindergarten to my master's study in Malaysia, so I have never had the chance to study abroad. So after I completed my master's study, I decided to study in any other country other than Malaysia, so that's why I have chosen Canada.
Oh, right on. I don't know if we've asked this already or not, but your major, what's your major while you're here?
My research, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My research, we are finding small molecule drugs from the wall mushroom that we have collected in different places in British Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will investigate the anti-cancer properties of the small molecule extracted from the mushroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty intense.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with this research? What got you started on it?
It has been my dream to be a lecturer to teach in the university after I graduate.
Okay.
So I decided to continue for my graduate study so that in the future I could teach in one of the local university in Malaysia. Involved in research is very important because if I can use my research experience and teach, I can use my experience to teach in the class and tell them what is actually going on and how they can apply the theory they learn in the class in the future.
Oh, yeah. Right on. So you're going to, go back home and teach there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you found was the biggest challenge with doing research?
Okay. Because I came from Asian country and this is my first time to be in North America, in Canada. And the most challenging part is the weather. In Malaysia, we have summer throughout the years. I mean, the coldest temperature is around 25 degrees. Mm-hmm. But in Canada, it can hit minus 30.
Yeah.
So I struggled a lot when I first came here in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I grew up here, so the weather's just been kind of one of those things, right? But I can understand how weird it must be, right?
Yeah, and I also get a chance to see lots of snow here.
Mm.
for many, many months in Fiji.
Oh, yeah. You get used to it, that's for sure. So when you're not doing your research, what do you do outside? What are your hobbies? Things like that.
Because I spend most of my time in the laboratory working on my stuff. So whenever I have free time, I would like to stay at home and just talk to my family.
Okay.
Or talk to my boyfriend. Or might just watch some dramas.
Oh, right on.
Kill my time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Netflix binger too, so I can relate. So you're a PhD student as well, right?
Yeah.
That involves an awful lot of work and pressure. How have you, what's been your biggest issue with, being a PhD student?
Okay, if compared to be a, if let's say I want to compare with being a PhD student in Malaysia, we don't have to take qualifying exam. But in Canada, we have to go through three different qualifying exams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that usually will take at least 1 year of your time. So I have to work on my research study at the same time, also prepare for the qualifying exam.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot all at once.
Yeah, it takes a long time to complete the exam. Yeah.
Well, you got through it and here you are, so I got mad respect for that. That's that's no small thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what made you decide that being a research ambassador would be the thing that you'd want to do?
Okay, I think that it's a very cool thing to like actually help students to understand what research is about. And I want to introduce them that whatever that they learn in the class, they actually can apply in the real world.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, instead of just learning all the theories, they can actually do it themselves in the lab.
Yeah, so you're just helping empower the students to realize they can do this too if they want to, right?
Yeah, initially I'm planning to help them, but at the end I found that I also learned a lot of things, different things by being a research ambassador because I'm an international student, so I don't really know much about how the things work in the university in Canada. So I hope that in the future I can apply whatever I have learned here when I'm back to my home country.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay.
So I understand you're over here studying by yourself, right? Like your family's back home, your boyfriend's back home as well?
My boyfriend, he's a Japanese, so he's in Japan.
Oh, okay. So that's got to be pretty challenging being away from him. You know, that's a really big commitment you're making. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people would be able to do it. So that's, you got some resilience here.
Yeah.
Strong woman doing this stuff.
Like, but sometimes I feel a little bit lonely because, like, I have to do a lot of stuff on my own. Yeah.
Like, it can get overwhelming, I imagine.
Yeah.
Right? But,
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting a little heavy here now. But, you know, this is just a really good example of just how strong somebody can be to come out and do all this stuff and, you know, you acknowledge that it's hard and you acknowledge that, you know, it's got its bad days and good days, and but you still do it.
Yeah, and PhD study take a long time, like 4 to 5 years, and that's why, like, it's kind of hard for me to, like, I have to struggle, like, for 4 to 5 years throughout the study on my own if I have any problems and my family is not around with me.
Yep. So I imagine keeping open communication with your family back home is really important to you as well. So, you know, you can always call them and talk to them and feel better, right?
Yeah, sure.
Amazing. That's awesome. Well, thank you for coming in today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for today.
Awesome. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Research the North at CFUR 88.7 FM in Prince George. All right. Coming up next, we have Anne Duong. So, Anne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. So, I'm still undergrad, and I finished my degree in honors in biochemistry and molecular biology here at UNBC. Yeah, it's been an exciting journey. And believe it or not, I'm actually from Toronto, and I came all the way here for my studies. And I haven't regretted one moment of it. It was an awesome experience.
So coming from Toronto, what made you pick UNBC in particular? Like, there's a lot of good schools out that direction, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. Well, actually, it's funny. I was in the subway, and then I saw this huge poster, and there was this huge tree, and I saw a little person there, and I said, come to UNBC. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I want to go there. And I looked up UNBC because I never heard of it before, and I saw that it was ranked second place in the primarily undergraduate category for the best university. So I thought, why not go there? Because, you know, those big universities, you'll just be a number anyways.
Yeah.
So, and it was a chance for me to get out of the big city because there was so much traffic, so many people, and not enough wildlife and beautiful nature that I get to encounter every day here in Prince George. So
yeah, the concrete jungle can get to you after a while, can't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, yeah.
So let's see, how did you connect, or what got you started with research when you came out here?
Yeah, so actually I was interested in research from the get-go. So in my first year, there was this meet and greet for chemistry and biochemistry students.
Okay.
And I went there and I got a chance to meet all the professors. And one professor in particular caught my attention, and it was Dr. Chow Lee, and I asked him some questions about his research, and I was a little bit familiar with it. And I just asked on a whim, hey, can I just volunteer in your lab? And this was first year, and then he said, okay, well, just wait until winter semester after you finish your courses, your 5 courses in the fall, and then you can come and email me. And I did in the winter semester, and I've been volunteering in his lab for basically all of my undergraduate.
Right on. Life. So that sounds like a good way to get your foot in the door, is just to ask to, you know, what can I help with, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. And you'll find that professors are quite willing to let you volunteer or let them ask about your their research and what they're doing. So
right on.
Yeah.
So you got your foot in the door, and now you're conducting your own research. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is you're working on right now?
Yeah, sure. So right now, I'm not working in the Lee lab anymore. In that lab, I was working mainly with, my honors research was looking at designing an RNA molecule that's able to inhibit this protein that causes cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty exciting, really cool, novel stuff. And then afterwards, actually, in my last year of university, or was it my third year? I don't quite remember.
It's all a blur, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. The years just fly by. But I approached another professor, and he was actually head of the Northern Analytical Laboratory Service, which is a different laboratory, and they deal with more environmental chemistry and things like that. And they had this really exciting project to detect and quantify toxins. And it grew into this project that I really love now. It's my baby. But basically, I've developed a method to detect and quantify these toxins called microcystins released from blue-green algae. And it's a worldwide issue, so it's really relevant, and it's really important for northern communities here who don't have access to those types of testing. And now I'm trying to determine whether or not clay can be used to remove these toxins using adsorption. The preliminary work is pretty promising, but I hope to develop into something that can actually be used in real life.
So. It does sound like it's got a lot of, applicable uses. Like we've seen in the past, like even this summer, there's been reports of like algae blooms and leaks, right? And this is bad for like people's animals and people themselves.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
So it's important work that you're doing. Yeah, I tip my hat to you.
Oh, thank you.
So what made you decide to be a research ambassador?
I wanted to be a UNBC research ambassador because I really love research. And I think that it's so important for students, especially those who are just starting out in first year and second year, to not underestimate their abilities and to feel confident in trying to ask these important questions about everything that they encounter in their courses and to take it a step further. And I find that a lot of students were very reluctant to do that because they thought, oh, I'm stupid, or I'm not a graduate student. And I really want to break that perception of what research is about.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in today, Anne.
Yeah, thank you very much, Patrick.
All right.
Okay, Patrick, well, don't think we didn't forget about you.
Uh-oh.
Because now I'm going to interview our host.
Okay, then.
So, Patrick Smith, welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start by asking about yourself and what you do and where you come from.
Well, I'm from Hazleton originally, which is about 4.5 hours or so west of here. Grew up most of my life there. I moved out to Prince George in about 2005 and, settled down with the woman who would eventually become my wife. And we had two kids, and for the longest time I just worked. And then a couple years back, I decided to, my wife helped me decide to quit my job and go to university to do something I actually wanted to do instead of just working, a regular job for the rest of my life. And so this past May, I just got my BA in anthropology. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And then I immediately jumped to work on graduate studies for this year, and that's what I'm working on right now. My thesis is examining artificial islands, like islands that were constructed in the archaeological record, and we're looking at sites in British Columbia and comparing them to sites across the world just to see how they're the same and how they're different. Well, there's a little more to it than that, but we don't have all day.
Wow, that's very cool. I wish I was doing that work, going out and looking at different artifacts. That's so cool.
That's pretty interesting stuff. What got me involved with this project, or started on this a master's program is, I've always been interested in archaeology, so I never thought it was something I could do for a living, and it turns out there's a fair amount of work that can be done. So, I attended the UNBC, Lake Babine Nation Archaeology Field School in, I believe it was 2017 over the summer, and that was at the site, called Smokehouse Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually really interesting because the reason my thesis is on constructed islands is because my supervisor, Dr. Farid Rahimtula, is pretty sure, going by the evidence that we've examined at the site, that Smokehouse Island itself is a constructed island.
Wow,
yeah.
Really? Interesting. So it's like artificial? It's not?
Yeah, well, The material that we're looking at coming out of there is all anthropogenic. Like, it all comes from human sources.
Wow.
So they were, like, doing stuff there for a very long time.
That is very, very cool.
Yeah.
So you were mentioning that you actually went to work for quite a long time before actually going back into academia. So were you a little bit scared of doing that?
Oh, I was terrified. I was, you know, making a good money for an in-town job. Like, it wasn't, like, comparable to, like, oil patch money or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were stable, and it's one of those things where it's hard to explain. Like, it's a good enough job, but I think my wife and eventually myself saw that, mm-hmm. you know, I could do more and I should do something that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And, like, archaeology has always been one of those things that's interested me. And, you know, getting out there, getting to university and realizing, holy moly, you can do this for a living. There are mm-hmm. people that work in this, and making those connections. And, mm-hmm. like, the past two summers, I've worked as a consulting archaeologist.
Wow.
And actually this last summer, I was the research assistant for the archaeology field school. So I got to go back out to the site again.
That's
it was really
amazing.
Fun.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm really happy for you, Patrick.
Oh,
and
thank you.
That you really found your passion and you took that step to just decide to not work anymore and just go into university.
Yeah.
That's quite a difficult decision to make.
It is scary, but the best things come after, you know, a scary decision, I find. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Just take those risks, right?
Exactly.
Cool. So what brought you to UNBC?
Well, I'm kind of a victim of geography. Like, my family is here, so I can't really uproot everybody to go anywhere else.
That's true.
Also, my wife is an alumnus of the university, so, you know, she's had nothing but good things to say about it. She was involved in the history program during her time up here.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And, yeah, it's basically when we were looking at places I could go, well, we were looking at UNBC, and, you know, Charlene, my wife, was like, oh, yeah, they do have archaeology courses there. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that got me in the door, and then I got accepted, and then I started down that path.
Well, that's great. Well, I guess it makes the most sense because your family is here, right?
Oh, yeah. It makes it tons
easier.
Yeah,
your wife went here, and I'm sure she can tell you the ropes of how to navigate university here.
Oh, she's been invaluable for helping me get through a lot of this stuff. Like, you know, just even just between, like, the actual work of it and, like, understanding, like the culture of the university when I first started out and, like, dealing with the stress load of, you know, the work that you have to do.
Yeah,
she's just been my rock.
Aw, that's so nice. So, I think you mentioned that you did a field school here, but were you connected with research at UNBC at an earlier stage?
Yeah, I actually, you know, through getting to know who is now my supervisor, I actually got to know him as an undergraduate student like myself before, you know, jumping into the whole grad studies thing. And I basically, you know, this is the guy that's doing the archaeology. I should, like, do as much as I can for him and, like, get to know this guy. And so, you know, I'd be like, hey, Farid, do you got any work, basically? And, you know, he's like, well, you know, he kept his eye out, and he managed to, you know, snag me the odd job here and there doing, like, lab work and stuff like that. And he helped direct me for the courses that would help me later on, too. So I actually owe a lot to him for getting me set up for a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to think. I did the undergraduate research experience as well, and that was using data that I had collected from my field season at Smokehouse Island, and also looking at the data that had been collected in previous field seasons. And what we did with that is we took all the anthropogenic material, which is basically these little chipped stone flakes, which are like residual effects of making tools. Like, people would be out there, like, knocking flakes off rocks to make sharp tools to build weir fences and, like, do all sorts of apparently fishing related activities. And basically I'm going through and weighing them all and counting them all and just kind of doing a quantitative analysis of the amount of anthropogenic material in each unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obscene how much is in there. like it's,
can you give us a figure?
For my URE, I counted about 60,000 flakes.
Wow.
From, I think, two units. And the way these go is, an archaeological unit is a 1x1 square.
Mm-hmm.
And for Smokehouse Island, we did it at arbitrary levels of 10 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
So each level, we'd organize it by level, and you know, I'd count the flakes for like level 1, 2, 3, and mm-hmm. you know, you'd be able to generate, you know, kind of a graph to see how much is in each level.
Wow.
And you know, you can compare to each unit at mm-hmm. each level across the island and be like, okay, so over here, like level 6 has way more, for example, versus yeah. over there, level, you know, 7 has way more. So what's that say about what happened during those times, right?
Like, yeah, for sure. No,
but,
that's really
yeah, that's that was my URE, and that kind of got me a little more hooked into the research end of things. And that kind of that was the thing for me that was like, hey, maybe I can take this to the next step and, you know, pursue graduate studies. And you know,
yeah,
it's
for sure.
Kind of got my foot in the door, and that's why I'd always recommend, you know, talking to your professors, mm-hmm. going out there, making that awkward first introduction, because you know it's going to be awkward. You just got to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you build that relationship, you build those connections, and good things will happen.
Yeah, very, very good advice, Patrick. So what made you want to be a UNBC research ambassador?
Well, I think the exact same reasons that made me want to do research mm-hmm. made me want to be a research ambassador, because I always, like, you know, nobody leads you to these connections, mm-hmm. and that's always been the most difficult thing. So for a position like this, where pretty much what we do is like, hey, here are these opportunities. These are people you should talk to for doing this, or these are, you know, this is who you should go and, you know, send this application to if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like just helping facilitate those connections for people and get them into the same position that I got in, and, you know, just kind of pay it forward.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for connecting me with this knowledge that you have. It's really incredible. And for sharing this, because I am sure this project will expand to something even bigger.
Oh, it should be interesting.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm very excited to see where this anthropological project and the archaeological site will lead in the future. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for interviewing me.
Thank you, Patrick.
And coming up next, we got Rowan Paulson. I've known Rowan ever since I started my undergraduate degree, and he's a pretty solid guy. So how's it going, Rowan?
Oh, it's pretty good. Just got out of a midterm, you know, that good old undergrad life.
Ah, some catharsis for being done then, eh?
Yeah, I get to talk to you again.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, my name's Rowan Paulson. I'm from the city of Quesnel. It's about 114 kilometers south of Prince George, where the UMBC campus is located. I got into anthropology because I was really into social studies in high school.
Okay.
And then anthropology is just the next level for me.
It's top tier social studies.
Yeah, I'd make a steroids comparison.
Nice. So, what brought you to UMBC initially?
UMBC is really accessible for somebody, like me specifically. I had a financial situation where I worked at a sawmill on the weekends and went to school during the week, and I paid my way through, I think, about the first 2.5 years of university before I could get some other funding. So I was able to drive down on the weekends, stay at my parents' house, and then come back up and then study. So my social life tanked, but I got here, right?
Yeah.
And actually, at the end of that was when I did my only URE, my undergraduate research experience. So that was the moment where I stopped working to focus on research instead of just getting the degree.
Oh yeah, I vaguely remember, like, when you did apply for that you know, you're saying that this was going to be what you want to do, and you did tell me you were actually going to, you know, stop working at the mill. I actually remember that.
So the undergraduate research experience, when I took it, what it provides is $1,500 in grant, like as a scholarship, right?
Yeah.
From what I remember, so that went right back into school, and that gave me the bounce I needed to get into a better cycle.
Perfect. So your URE, that was kind of like your stepping stone to getting involved into research more directly,
yeah,
right?
Yes. That was my first step. That's a really appropriate way of putting it. What would you like me to tell you about that?
How has that, like, fueled your desire to do more research?
Yeah, I think, so my URE specifically was on memes used by ultranationalists to establish their sense of masculinity. And that, right there, that's a big, like, pipe dream topic for a lot of people. I know, like, memes are something that a lot of people are interested in today's culture. And I think for me, that was the moment where I saw, like, what the limits of anthropology were, because that was done with the faculty member supervising me was Dr. Michel Bouchard.
Oh, that's right.
So it was interesting to have that talk that preceded the agreement to supervise me as I did the URE. That really let me know where the limits were, and it's really just the sky.
Yeah, that must have been quite the sales pitch to run that by Dr. Bouchard, I imagine.
You know, it was at the time, like, we were talking about politics, and I have a hard time not having anybody interesting to talk to for politics. So I think it's that process for me was learning about how to integrate my desires for research and finding the right people in the faculty of UMBC to talk to and to see how they intersected and what to make of that and where to go forward from that.
Awesome. So what's next after you finish your URE? Was 2 years ago?
That was a while. I think I finished it in the second semester of my second year. So I think that was winter 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after that, what's next?
What happened after that? I think it was summer 2018. It was summer 2018. I went on the Anthropology Political Science 422 Field School to Ireland, the Isle of Man. And that's really where I got my first chance to go in what I think is the life of the anthropologist, or the life I want to live as an anthropologist,
okay,
which is wake up, get on a train, go into the place that you're going to be studying, and then just take notes all day and talk to people and just kind of suss out, like, what's interesting about the places that you're in.
Awesome. If I recall correctly, the main focus of the Ireland Field School was dealing with refugees coming into Ireland.
Yeah, so there's a bit of legal jargon to go around the whole situation in Ireland concerning migration. So there are persons seeking asylum.
Oh, I see.
From what I understand, a term that I've been corrected about, which I accept totally.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Yeah. So basically, there are persons that come from elsewhere in the world seeking safety from violence and oppression, and they come to Ireland, and they aren't part of what I believe is an existing EU treaty that Ireland has, and basically they don't fit into Ireland's migration or immigration policy.
Okay.
So a lot of that work is going to the various detention centers that these people have to stay at for years on end.
Oh, wow.
And taking a look at the structures and, for my interest, the culture that keeps them in.
Hmm.
It's really just a lot of that is understanding how that situation, well, a lot of this field school and my time in Ireland, to me, was understanding how the Irish people how that related to their own cultural notions of what it meant to be Irish. Because a lot of that conversation is, well, they are not Irish and we have to expect them to become Irish eventually.
Oh, yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. National identity.
Yeah, I learned a very interesting term while in Ireland, which is interculturalism. So in Canada, we talk about multiculturalism, and how we're each a part of this mosaic of ethnicities and identities and so on. But in Ireland, they had a critique for that, and that's that we should really be striving for interculturalism, which is to learn from each other's cultures and see, what can we learn from each other and create a new identity. And in the case of Ireland, still call it Irish, and work from there.
I quite like that term, actually, mm-hmm. Interculturalism.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more that I have to learn about it before I can really get up in it, but it's interesting, right?
Definitely sounds like something that's worth delving into, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So do you have any current research that you're undertaking?
No, I'm working as a research ambassador, and I'm planning for grad work.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm not, I'm still, like, really workshopping, so it's not anything I can really present.
Fair enough, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been there, like, you know, just trying to figure out what you want to do with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's some stuff that I'm going to have to, like, do some look out, like, some preliminary research before I decide if I can do it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would you say that your experience with your undergraduate research experience, or your URE,
mm-hmm.
and your experience with the field school that you attended, Was that a motivating factor in what made you want to become a research ambassador?
Yeah, exactly. I want more people to go in that field school if it means that they're going to fall in love with their studies. Like, that's what it meant for me. Like, this is the first time I could actualize myself. Like, I could become what I thought of as an anthropologist. And, like, there was never a night where I didn't go to sleep smiling.
Nice.
And I wasn't sleeping in because, like, I had to just get out there. It was a lot of fun. Like, the people that I went to the field school with are dear friends to me. And there's a lot that I learned about the process of what I want my work to be and what research is and things that you have to handle. Yeah, it was really interesting.
I'd say it was time well spent then, by the sound of it.
Life-changing, yeah.
Living the dream.
Mm-hmm. In Ireland.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in today, Rowan.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. And coming up next, we have Laura Harvey. How's it going today, Laura?
It's wonderful. And how are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. So how about you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, where are you from?
Great. So I'm calling from afar. So I live on Salt Spring Island, BC, in the Southern Gulf Islands, just off of Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
And I've lived here 8 years with my family, and basically that's a little bit about me. So currently I'm taking a distance education program to complete my master's to become a family nurse practitioner. So I'm in year 3 of that program.
Oh, nice. So what made you decide to study through UNBC in particular?
What drew me to UNBC is that we have 3 programs within British Columbia that offer the nurse practitioner program. But what I loved about UNBC was its unique programming for rural focus. So currently I practice in rural nursing, and it's always an area that's really drawn my interest because we are typically, we need to deal with a lot of diverse situations, and I really like to extend my thinking in that way.
Yeah, I grew up in a rural area, too, and I could kind of see the need for more rural practitioners. So that's really nice that you're, like, aiming to, meet that need with your own education.
Yes.
So what made you want to get involved with research specifically initially?
Well, it came as quite a surprise to me because in my undergrad, although we were encouraged to write research papers, I didn't really think about what research was in terms of practice. So what I've loved about this program, along with its rural focus, is that the professors really promote research and basically what I've learned and I didn't really think about prior to starting the program is that a lot of our practice is based on evidence-based research, which then translates into evidence-based practice. And basically what that means is that we take what has been found in research and we translate that into better patient outcomes, improved health for marginalized populations, changing in our clinical practice guidelines to keep current with research. And so to me, it seems as a nurse practitioner, it's really important to be involved in research in order to help move along those processes.
That actually makes a lot of sense now that I'm hearing it like that, it's just keeping, current practices as in the best form they can be through keeping, to the evidence that's provided.
Yes, and so important because, honestly, with research, you're really able to find out what works best and why and what that, then we translate it to updating clinical practice guidelines and updating health policy in order to really look at the gaps in our knowledge. And so to me, it's really interesting because it's really sparked an interest in research that I didn't quite know that I had.
Right on. So what research are you involved with personally, like, right now?
Within my program, we are required to complete something called a capstone research project, which involves us really to choose a topic that we focus on throughout all of our courses. And we're encouraged to, every paper that we write, we research more and more and just gather all of this evidence in order to come up with an end product, which I'm sure is similar in various other master's programs. But my current research focus for this capstone project is on addressing the need to increase mental health screening and diagnosing for fathers within the perinatal period.
Oh.
And so basically what that means is looking at, okay, what are we missing with our paternal population, and why are we missing it, and how could we improve upon our clinical practice guidelines based on this evidence-based research?
That's really interesting. I just recently had my second child, 5 months ago yesterday, actually, and wow.
We don't think about the fathers enough. I, in my experience as well with my three kids, I know I didn't even focus on the mental health and its importance on the family of my husband. And I realize now that he struggled through some parts of, you know, becoming a father of twins and then a third child after that. And so I really feel like it's something that we need to advocate for within our health practice.
I can definitely relate, that's for sure. So what, out of all this research you're conducting, what propelled you forward to apply to be a research ambassador with UNBC?
Really to increase my understanding what research means in other areas of education. And to just try to delve deeper into what research means to me and how we can promote it for other students. So as I said before, as an undergrad, I didn't really understand what benefit research could have on innovating new health policy and new health practice. And so what caused me to want to apply is to inspire change for undergraduate students and to help promote research for everyone on campus.
Right on. Well, perfect. Thanks for coming on today, Laura. It was a pleasure talking to you.
No problem, and thanks for asking me all these questions.
So that is almost all of us. Unfortunately, our lead research ambassador, Kimberly Thomas, is unavailable because she's out in Calgary right now doing some recruitment programs for the university. So we'll talk a bit more about her later when she is available, but just know that she's out there doing good things for us right now. And as far as leadership goes, we couldn't ask for anybody better. So that's all we have time for today. I hope you enjoyed getting to know your UNBC research ambassadors, and thank you for listening to us on CFUR 88.7 FM in Prince George. This has been Research the North. Tune in at the end of November to learn more about what research can do for you in our second episode.